Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Shattered Silence, Stories of Recovery and Resilience. My name is Jory, and today I am here with Jessica.
Hi.
Thank you for being here.
Yes, thank you for inviting me.
Yeah, of course. We just got connected through, well, my producer heard of your story, mm-hmm. and this story definitely hits close to home for me.
Yes.
And, you know, I really haven't heard much, but just a little snippet, so we're going to get into it. So I really just want you to kind of start from the beginning, how you grew up, where you grew up, and how life was just as a child.
So I come from like a small town Atwater. It's like a little cow town. You will like go past it as soon as you're passing by to go north because it's so small. But for me, I grew up there like my whole life from the age of a baby all the way till 18. And then I went to school there. Grew up in a nice, I would say, school. I was always very smart, like on top of like my schoolwork. I was in a lot of sports. I was always like very well-rounded. Mm-hmm. And then come high school, I'm obviously like, you know, enjoying the life that it is. Mm-hmm. And, you know, my senior year, I had rekindled with one of my friends, which happened to be my baby's father, Ricardo. Mm-hmm. And Ricardo and I actually had met each other already freshman year of high school.
Uh-huh.
And it was first period. So we ended up having first period our senior year together.
Oh, my gosh. Okay.
Yeah. So it was kind of like meant to be. We had freshman year and then we had senior year together, mm-hmm. first period, but completely different people. Like he was a completely different person. And then so was I. But we both like kind of clicked. Like he was very funny. I always thought he was very smart. Like he knew everything that we were talking about in econ.
Yeah.
And I really liked that about him. And I even told my friend, I was like, I think he's so cute. And then I didn't even know at that time, though, that my friend later on, she tells me, she's like, one time I had like turned around and I told him, I was like, oh, like you and Jessica, like you should ask her out. Like, you know,
uh-huh.
And I was like, no way you told him that. And she was like, yeah, I did. And I was like,
oh my gosh.
But he never like made a move on me. Like we were just friends. Like, purely just friends. And then I remember our senior year, we both actually won Most Change and we ended up being in the yearbook together.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's cool.
Yeah. So I was like, kind of ironic because mm-hmm. then we ended up later on in life, you know, becoming a thing. But growing up from like elementary to high school, it was really chill. And I'm glad that I got to meet him. And then from there, we kind of like parted, did our own way, like did our own thing. I went to college.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask. Did you guys go off to college and then meet later?
Yeah. So I went to Fresno State.
I
currently go back to Fresno State because I took a break during the pandemic and everything.
Yeah.
But love Fresno State, by the way.
Yeah.
It's cool. And I went to Fresno State. I didn't hear anything from him. And I actually did reach out to him. My first semester back, like for Christmas break, I had reached out to him and I had just said, hey, like, how are you? Like, we should hang out. And he never responded to me. So
you're like, wow, cool.
Wow, cool. Yeah. And I was like very prideful because I've never told him mm-hmm. like I liked him. I never really made like my move. So I was like, yeah, I'm going to block him.
Yeah. He's like, okay, I'm done.
Yeah. I was like, gotta do this for me. So
yeah.
Yeah. I blocked
him. Like, I'm not trying again then.
Yeah. I know it wasn't like healthy to do that, but I was like, I'm just gonna block him because I mean that's probably him not reaching back out because he doesn't like me. That's mm-hmm. so I had assumed,
right?
And then like 2 years later passed by and I randomly get a DM on my new Instagram account because I had deactivated or couldn't get into my old one. It still exists, but I just couldn't get into it.
Uh-huh.
So I had to make a new one and he was blocked on that Instagram account.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
Oh my gosh, that's funny.
Yeah.
And so he DM'd you.
Yeah, so he DM'd me like a long paragraph
uh-huh.
basically explaining like the reason why he didn't reach out to me at that time was because he was dealing with, you know, his sobriety. He was getting sober and he was finally like 2 years sober and he felt confident enough to like reach out to me and apologize for the way he had left off. And,
oh my gosh, yeah.
Yeah, so I was kind of like in shock and in awe, like, wow, like he took the time to really explain himself, like he didn't have to. And I felt like a jerk because I was the one who blocked him just because.
Yeah, well, we're all in our own head, like, okay, he just doesn't like me or whatever, you know, but you never know what's going on. And
yeah.
That's kind of a cool thing for him to come back and like explain, like, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have done that to you or whatever.
Yeah. And then like, he really did just take the time to like really like self mold himself into a better person before he rekindled with me, which I thought that was really like nice and really considerate of him. So yeah, after that, it kind of just like snowballed and we went on our first date and we got sushi, we went to the movies, and then from there we kind of never stopped hanging out.
Okay.
Yeah.
So So how long were you guys together for?
From 2019 all the way until 2020. Well, he passed away the third of the new year of 2023. So all the way until then.
Okay.
Yeah, because we had gotten together in November of 2019. Yeah.
Okay.
And then all the way up until then. So about like 3-4 years. But okay. It was a little bit on and off. I'm not going to lie. It wasn't very linear because of his addiction. Like, I feel like, unfortunately, with dealing with somebody who had an addiction past, like, it was a part that I was willing to accept because I loved him, you know?
Right.
Mm-hmm. But it was also something I told him it was my non-negotiable. I didn't want to be a part of his life or want him to be part of mine if he was thinking he could do that.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was a little stern of me to do that. But in a sense, I felt like it did help him.
Yeah, for sure. It's that tough love that like is so hard to do. But you're just like, you need to get yourself better. Like you have, I don't know. It sucks. It definitely sucks. But you got to... There's no easy way to do it.
Yeah.
You know, addiction's just hard. So you guys were kind of like off and on for a little bit because of his sobriety.
Yeah, that was the only thing. Besides that, he was an amazing person.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I know. I still get chills because he was a good guy.
Yeah. You know? Yeah, absolutely. And that's the hard part is that when we talk about our loved ones with an addiction, it's like they weren't their addiction. Like they were such a good person. And I know talking about this addiction and the things that were hard for us as the spouse or significant other. It's hard because you don't want people to think down on them because they are still good, great people. Addiction really is an illness.
Yeah. And I feel like like you said, it's an illness. Like it's something like he himself would tell me, like he would fight. Like it was something that he was ashamed of. Like he didn't like to be around people. Like that's why I think he took so long to reach out to me. But honestly, I'm very, very grateful that we had that part of our lives together because probably one of my favorite chapters in my life.
Oh yeah. And I think that all the time too, it doesn't matter all the hurtful things that we went through. Like I would have done anything for Kyle, you know. I really would have done anything for him, and I don't ever regret anything, you know. Like I mean, he gave me a beautiful child, and I get to see his face through my child every day, you know. And I like, that's the biggest blessing ever. I think that no matter what, it's not that our loved ones were supposed to pass, but I think that I absolutely was supposed to have my child to have this piece of him.
Yeah. And I think that's so real too. Like, I feel like finding out that I was pregnant after the fact, like Ricardo had died, was so surreal. It was probably like one of the most intense moments I had ever found out. Like it was really crazy.
Let's go back on that a little bit.
Yeah.
So, cause our audience doesn't really know that piece of it.
Sorry.
No, that's okay.
Yeah.
So I want to kind of circle back a little bit. So you and Ricardo were doing well, but he still was kind of off and on struggling with his addiction.
Yes.
So how did you find out that he passed?
So me and him had like good connection. Like we would call each other all the time. And I remember I was at work and he had the day off. And he was already at that time. I had already seen signals and everybody had noticed that he had been falling back a little bit and had been hiding it, you know, but I would like confront him about it. Of course he would deny it, you know, and he didn't want to like kind of like, you know, say anything about it, especially because at that time he had a well job. Like he was doing really well for himself. It's like he was functioning, but still hiding everything, you know, so nobody was really that concerned. And I just remember that day on my lunch break, I called him and he didn't answer. And I knew that was a big red flag because for him, he would answer on the first ring. Like that was his thing. So immediately I felt like a pit like dropped to my stomach and I'm like, okay, this is weird. Something's not right. So then I contacted his dad and he told me that the last that he had seen of him, like he was at the house because his dad's like way older than him. So it was just him and his father living together at the house. And so his dad wasn't home and I was like, okay, well, do you mind checking on him as soon as you get to the house? Maybe he's asleep. I don't know. It's kind of weird for him not to answer. He usually answers. And then something in me was like, let me contact his friend, because if he's not at his dad's, he's at his friend's house. And I knew all of his friends.
Like, yeah.
We still hang out. Great people. You know? And I contacted him and I was like, hey, Angel, did Ricardo like come over to your house? Like, what's going on? Like, he's not answering me. And he was like, no, he said he was going to come here after he had ate, actually, and he hasn't shown up. Like, he said that, like, around 5. And I was like, immediately, I was like, no. And so I called the dad. I was like, hey, you need to go check on him because I just don't think something's right. So immediately, as soon as he gets home, his dad found him, like, purple. He explained to me over the phone. He called me. And immediately, I was at work. I answered the phone. I knew immediately it was an emergency. So I answered, and I'm like, oh, my gosh, like, you need to call the police. I'm going to be on my way. I'm going to head over there. So as soon as I headed over to his house, the ambulance was already there. His dad was there. I called his friend to show up too, because I knew, like, in his honor, like, he would want to be there just in case. Because I had a feeling, like, it just was not good. And so the ambulance was there. They tried to resuscitate him. They did everything that they could. But unfortunately, like, he had passed away from fentanyl, poisoning, overdose. And it was unfortunate because just at that time, that's like when the, like, fentanyl epidemic, I would say, had been going on. So it was crazy to think that he was, like, a product of that time. And it's unfortunate, because he still had so much to live in. It's so crazy, too, because he had packets for houses that we were looking at to live in because we wanted to move in together. Had not knowing what my future and his was going to be fulfilled with,
right,
you know.
Right. Yeah, Kyle passed in 2023 as well, fentanyl, you know. Yeah. It's just like this whole, like, that 2023, I mean, even up till now.
Yeah.
These statistics are just going up, and I just, it kills me to know that, you know, he's part of that statistic. And that's, I say this every episode, that's why we're talking about it, though, because it really is, like, it affects so many people. Not just your classic thought of a drug addict on the street. It's just, it's everywhere. It's everywhere.
It took normal functioning people away from, like, their lives and their futures. And it was sad, you know, and it is still sad. Like, it's unfortunate that we lost so many loved ones that way. But now, you know, times have thankfully been evolving, and there's been a lot more, I think, education about the topic.
Oh, yeah.
So I'm grateful for that. But yeah, during that time, a lot of people were passing from fentanyl. Like, it was like back to back.
Yeah. It's like, and everybody either knows someone directly or knows someone that knows someone that's passed from fentanyl. That's how you know it's crazy. It's sad. So then after Ricardo passed away, how did those next, like, few days look like for you?
Oh, it was a roller coaster. I felt like my life was gone. Like,
yeah.
It really did.
You can take your time. It's okay.
Yeah, it was just really hard. You know, even though, like, it was not perfect, obviously, linear relationship, it was something I wouldn't ever have taken it for granted. Like, it was, you know, like,
and that doesn't make it any less than just because you guys had struggled off and on because of his addiction. I mean, Kyle and I had the same thing, you know. It was like he'd have times where he was doing so well and then times where I could tell something was off, you know, and we would get through it, you know, we would always get through it. And, but that doesn't mean that your relationship was any less than, you know. Of course you, like, cherish that relationship you guys had. So then I know it's, like, such a, like, blur after, like, it's like having to plan a funeral and having to do all these arrangements, stuff that you could never even imagine yourself doing so young, like, just crazy. But let's go back to you finding out that you were pregnant.
Yeah, so it was like, I felt like a telenovela. I was like, what is this? Like, basically, like, I was dealing, like you said, like, the whole planning of the funeral. Thankfully, his family kept me involved because they knew, like, as much as I love Ricardo, I would do anything for him, and I should be a part of his funeral planning. Mm-hmm. So I was a part of every step, like every step of the way. So we would go to the cemetery, we would, like, plan the funeral and everything, and it was all very fast. We did it within, like, 2 weeks. And I remember the day of the viewing, it was just so tough. Like, I just felt super sick. But I was like, it's probably just because I'm so sad. I've never felt this emotion before. Like, who's ready to feel that emotion so young, you know? Like, I'm like, that's probably what it is. And I remember afterwards, his friends and family, we went out to eat. And there was drinks and stuff. And something in me was like, no, I kind of don't want to drink. I just feel like I need to cope with this and just go to bed early. And that's what I did. So I went home after the viewing early that night, and I woke up, I remember, like, at 3-4 in the morning, just throwing up. And I'm like, oh, like, is this like a part of the sadness? Like, is this like normal? But then a part of me just like kind of had like a voice in my head and was like, you should go get a pregnancy test. Like just to be safe. It's your last time like ever being able to do that, to check, you know, and you guys, you know, were together for a long time. There could be that possibility. You should check. And as soon as it turned 8, I went to my local like CVS Walgreens, and I just remember driving there and a beautiful like white, big white swan was just following my car.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah.
I have chills.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. And I was just looking up like, oh my gosh, like, okay, like we're on our way. And I remember like as I was getting there, I was like, okay, I'm going to invest in the good tests. Like, I'm going to get a good test.
A little cheap test. Okay, I want to make sure.
Like, if this is the last one, I'm going to get the good one. And then it was like a 2-pack. So I was like, just to make sure, you know? So I got like the 2-pack. And I remember just like feeling like really just like anxious and also like thinking in the back of my head, like, what if I am pregnant? You know, like, what do I do? But I was like, well, we'll find out. So I went home and I immediately went upstairs to the bathroom. And as I was going upstairs, I closed the door. I locked it behind me and I took the first digital one because I was like, that one's going to tell me right away. Pregnant, not pregnant.
Yes.
So I peed and I waited. And then I'm expecting it not to say not pregnant, but it, in bright words, it says pregnant. Immediately just started crying. Mm-hmm. I just was like, whoa, like. Wow.
So many emotions, I'm sure. Yeah, oh my gosh.
I was speechless. Like I was kind of like very happy. Like it was like a hysterical cry that kind of came out, but also like a what's next?
Yeah.
You know, what do I do now? Like
So
I just grabbed the test, and then after that I went back downstairs. My mom was there and I told my mom, I was like, Mom, you won't believe it. And she was like, what? And I was like, I'm pregnant. And she was like, She just was happy and she cried and she was like, this is a blessing. She's like, I didn't want to tell you because I didn't want it to hurt. But she was like, if there's one thing I would wish, it was for you guys to at least have had a son or like a daughter or baby, you know, that I know that's what all you would have wanted. And I was like, yeah, I was like, this is so crazy. And she was like, well, you got to tell his family. You got to like, you know, just keep it together and figure it out because you'll be okay. This is a blessing. And I feel like her telling me that he was a blessing before, like, it was just reassurance to me. Like,
it's what you needed.
Heck yeah.
You needed to hear that. What a, like, I'm sure the emotions were just so heavy at that point because you're so happy you get this baby from him, you know? And, but you're also, first weeks of your grief, that's just like you really don't even know what life is at that point. You're like, what is happening?
Yeah.
And so I'm sure that was like, oh my gosh, I'm sure that was so emotional.
Yeah. But you know what's weird? It was emotional, but it was also kind of like, I got to get it together because I didn't want to lose my baby. I literally was like in survival mode. I was like, I got to kind of tune out how I feel as much as I can so I can keep my baby. Because it's unfortunate. A lot of people during, you know, hard times like that, they can lose their baby. And, you know, my prayers go out to them and it's hard. Yeah. So I was just scared of that. And I was just praying all the time during my pregnancy. But I mean, yeah, I would just say it was about keeping my faith and keeping my strength and the fact that I knew that God gave me this as a blessing and a memory of our love that we had.
Yeah, seriously. How did you tell his parents?
Oh, I told them like that day because I was just kind of in shock.
Yeah.
I was just like, okay, it was the day of the viewing. I was like, well, we show up to the day of the viewing. Everyone's kind of all ready. You know, his parents are crying, of course, normal. But I'm kind of like in shock. Like, I don't know how I'm going to tell them. Like, how do I approach?
So now you have other things in your head too.
Yeah. Like now I'm like, what do I tell them? But I have to tell them, you know? And I just remember going up to his mom and I was like, can I talk to you? And she was like, yeah, she speaks Spanish. So I talked to her in Spanish and I said, podemos ir al baño? Can we go to the bathroom? And she was like, yeah. And so we go to the bathroom. She's crying. She needs a hug. We're all kind of hugging. And then her sisters kind of follow and all the, like some of her family members follow in there. Mm-hmm. And I say, I found out I'm pregnant. And immediately tears of like joy, but also like in shock. Like she just gave me a hug. Her sister gave me a hug and they were just so happy. Like they're like, no way. Like she's like, and then again, the same thing. She's like, I didn't want to say anything, but I would have liked for you guys to have a baby. I feel like that's what kind of what, you know, you guys would have needed. And she was, it was just so surreal. Like it was kind of like, wow, like some family members, though, they didn't like kind of, I think, process it, obviously, because they were still mourning and they're just like, okay, you know, everyone's just dealing with their own emotions. It's kind of a lot to process. Obviously a lot for me too, because I was like, this is just a lot. Like, you're dealing with life and you're dealing with death at the same time.
Seriously. Yeah.
And that's just a crazy constant of different emotions you have to kind of process. So I understood that. But yeah, I mean, it was crazy, but it was beautiful at the same time.
Yeah. Seriously. Because I think all the time about Kyle and I, and we had our son before we were able to get married as well. But I just think about it all the time. And I'm just like, you know, it really is in God's hands. And I really believe that, like I said before, I do 100% believe that we were supposed to have our baby, you know, have this piece of Kyle always, you know, never going to let my son forget it. And he won't forget it either, because he's got his daddy's personality.
He does. Oh yeah. So
he's like so wild and just so funny. And he's always making me laugh. And so I just know, like, it just gives me that little piece of Kyle always. So as hard as it is, though.
Yeah, I feel like that's beautiful, because, like, you know, he lives through him.
Yes.
And that's, like, the most beautiful part about life.
Yes. Yeah, it really is. And, like, I don't know, Brooks, my son, he was only 8 months when Kyle passed. So it was definitely hard. But there's little pieces that are just, I want to say, are blessings in disguise. But maybe that's just something to help me get through. I don't know. But, you know, it's like, I am thankful that I didn't have to help my son through this grief, because he knew his dad, and he would hear and see videos of him and say dada, but he didn't know like what was happening, you know, he didn't know what was happening. And I just hear these stories of other, like, widows having to help their children through grief of losing their dad. And I just can't, as hard as it was for myself, I'm like, how could I do, like, go through grief myself and then also have to help my child through this grief, you know? Like, that's, like, even more heartbreaking than having to go through it yourself, is having your kid go through it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm so glad that they had a little bit of time together, but I'm also so glad that I didn't have to see my kids hurt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
As weird as that sounds.
No, it's because that's something you worry about. Like, you care so much about your babies, and to see them hurt, it's the worst thing. And to understand pain like this and to only comprehend what a child would go through, I can't. That's so hard.
Aspire Counseling Services provides caring, personalized support for adults and teens facing mental health challenges. From group therapy to mindfulness, art, and even pet therapy, their programs are designed to help people feel better and build healthier habits. Teens can get the support they need while still keeping up with school and home life. You can reach Aspire at 888-585-7373. But going back, let's talk about your pregnancy. What was that like? I mean, I'm sure, like, was it your first pregnancy?
First pregnancy.
Yeah, your first one, which is even harder too, and then having to deal with grief at the same time. So, like, what did that look like for you?
For me, it was just like a constant, like, I cope with food. So I would eat a lot. So I think that was my thing. I would just kind of eat a lot. But another part of that was, like, obviously I would still cry. I was very emotional, but I would try to suppress that a lot. Even my aunt, like, after having my son, she was like, wow, I didn't notice, like, how much you were grieving until after you had your son, because I feel like you kept it together during your pregnancy very well. And I was like, yeah. I was like, I think I just went into survival mode at that time. Like, I had to really just be like, okay, I can think about them, like, the moments that we had together and cry about it, which is totally healthy and totally normal.
Yes.
But not for me right now, because I'm pregnant.
Yes.
And if I do that, I will, like, I could harm my baby, and I wouldn't want to harm my baby.
Props to you. You're so strong for doing that too.
Yeah. And it was a big mental, like, juggle, like, between my
emotions. Absolutely.
Yeah. Like, all the time I was like, oh, I miss him so much. I would still wake up every morning at 3 a.m. all the time. And it was like my baby kicking me at like, towards the end, like Ricky, like, he's named after his dad. So Ricardo, baby Rick.
Mm-hmm.
And he would, like, kick me all the time, like at 3 a.m. and I'd wake up and toss and turn. And every time I would just kind of sit there and just like kind of be reminded, like, you know, I feel like that's his dad kind of reaching out to me, being like, I'm still here. Yeah. Like, you know, don't forget me. And obviously he's never forgotten. Like, I love him so much. His memory will always live through our son and all the love that he's given me. But yeah, I feel like pregnancy itself was hard. It was hard because I had to really suppress a lot of my emotions. I had to kind of just like forget a lot of things and not really look back on it so much. And also another part of my pregnancy is I kept it very concealed. Like only my close friends and family had known about it. So Ricardo's family had known, my family had known, like his mom, dad, sister, brothers. And my mom, dad, sister, brothers, some of my close cousins, and only like a handful of my friends, because I just felt during that time in my life, I needed that like time for me to mourn and for nobody to know that. Because if people in my head, I thought that if people knew that I was pregnant, I would just be a lot more of emotions and a lot more of like kind of like, not in a sense like they feel bad for me, but yeah, kind of in the sense like they're just going to reach out. They're going to want to check on me, but then that'll just remind me of everything. And I kind of
like, I don't want to get those kind of texts. I just need to try and be strong myself. So let's just not talk about it.
Yeah, you know? Because I will break down. I will cry. Like it was not something to like ideally live through. Like nobody wants to be pregnant and mourning the love of their life. Yeah. Nobody wants to do that. And I just had to come to the terms with like, okay, this is my reality. I'm going to live through it. I'm going to make sure that my baby comes out healthy, beautiful, and happy. That's all I can ask for. So I kept that concealed. And it wasn't until I was past, like, I want to say, like, my, I think, fifth month. And I had done, like, to, like, kind of, like, tell everybody about it, I had done a photo shoot, like, gender reveal.
Oh, uh-huh.
And I wanted to keep it intimate. So it was just, like, me and my cousin who had known. She was my gender keeper. And we got, like, the balloon. And we went out in the orchards. And as soon as we popped it, I had seen blue. And immediately came into tears. And I was like, wow, this is all worth it. Like, yeah, it was beautiful. Like,
yeah,
that was just... It was beautiful. The sunset, too, was beautiful. The pictures came out amazing. But most importantly, like, I just felt like Ricardo was just reminding me, like, I'm still here. Like, I will live through our son and you will have those memories to share with him. But it is what it is. And after that, I was so happy. I just remember posting those pictures and telling everybody finally on my social media and my family. I had mailed out cards of like the gender reveal. I had like sent it to my close family and friends, and I said, you know, you've been keeping this as a secret just because of what kind of went on, but I want you guys all to know that, you know, I'm expecting baby Ricardo and he should be coming here. I was supposed to be due in September, but I ended up getting induced early because of like preeclampsia. I ended up getting that towards the end of my pregnancy, which was a little bit scary, but I mean, kind of expected a little bit of pregnancy issues because the situation itself was just a lot, and that's kind of something that I was trying to not to get. But it was actually pretty good because I think I only got induced like a week earlier than my due date.
Oh, okay.
Which wasn't too bad.
Yeah,
but I was just trying so hard to be healthy because
it was
a hard time. But I definitely did eat my heart out.
Yeah.
I gained like a lot of weight, still trying to get rid of it. Yeah. But it was all worth it.
I did too. You know, I did too. I was like, I actually am still working off my baby weight too.
No, you look amazing.
Oh, thank you. But how were you feeling about like the gender? Did you really want a boy?
Honestly, I was like, a boy or a girl would be ideal.
Well, of course, yeah. You're like, either way, I just want a healthy baby. But
yeah, but even everybody would say, they're like, my parents are like, it's gonna be a boy, and my dad and mom were like, it's gonna be a boy. Even Ricardo's parents were like, I had a dream, and Ricardo's mom was like, I had a dream and I felt like it was gonna be a boy, and she was like, but we'll see, you know. And then it come to find out, obviously we do the gender reveal photos. Mm-hmm. I actually went personally to his parents' house, and at that time it was around Easter. Mm-hmm. So I had gotten like these gold eggs, and I had put the picture in the middle, and I put like a blue bunny rattle.
Oh, cute. Uh-huh.
And like little like goodies for them. So like when they would open it, they would see that it was a boy. And I remember like his mom opening up the egg, and she just immediately just started crying. And she was like,
that's so special though.
Yeah. She was like, and it was around Easter too, which I felt was just like perfect timing. Like I felt like it just reminded me of my faith, and it just reminded me that there's blessings always in storms, and it's okay. Like, God will always be there too. Like, he's always here to remind us that with every storm that he gives, there is sunshine.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. I remember, like, Kyle and I had thought that for whatever reason, we were like for sure that we were having a girl. We just thought we were having a girl. And then we found out it was actually a boy, which, you know, we didn't care either way. But I think and look back at it now and I'm like, you know what? I'm so glad it is a boy just because it's just like a little mini Kyle. And like he gets to have his like last name and just like carry on that too. And, you know, I just really think that I'll say it again and again. It was just meant to be. And he was the biggest blessing of my life. And it was meant to be that way. You know, I was meant to have little Brooksy. Let's continue then. So your pregnancy, I guess just continue after your pregnancy. So leading up to you actually giving birth.
Oh, yeah. So me actually giving birth, that was such a surreal experience. I honestly, not to say I didn't enjoy my birth, but I feel like that's when I let out all my emotions that I had been suppressing. Like, mm-hmm. I just remember crying. Like, I was like, I'm really doing this alone, you know? Yeah. Which in retrospect, I wasn't, because I have like a village behind me and I love my family and my friends that supported me and continue to do so. Like, thank you guys so much. Like, I love you guys. But in that moment, I was like, I'm doing this alone, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that was hard.
Yeah.
That was very hard.
I'm sure it was also a little bit of a relief and a weight lifted off your shoulders, just knowing like, okay, he's here and
yes.
I don't have to, almost like you don't have to try and suppress as many feelings anymore because you've got your healthy baby here, you know?
Yeah, and then it was so beautiful. Well, I had to get a C-section, so that was another thing. I didn't deliver him naturally, so it was like a mixture of emotions. Like, I wasn't able to really push him out, and then so they obviously like took him out, and I got to see him for a split second. And it was beautiful. And it was like, oh my gosh, like I created this human being and he's so cute. And I just, you know, I'm excited to meet him. But then boom, like obviously like the doctors have to do their thing and we got separated. And then I just remember like kind of laying down on that table and I was just in my thoughts, like super heavy, which wasn't good. And then eventually, like obviously when I had time with my son, I finally kind of put into conclusion like, wow, this is life now. And I'm not going to be alone. Like I'm always going to have like my son. You know, and yeah. I'm always going to have him to look forward to want to be better, to want to like keep on striving for more. Like, I really truly feel if I was not pregnant, I don't know what my future would have had
right?
for me. Like, I really think having my son was a reminder for me to keep on going. Cause,
absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I can just 100% relate to that because, you know, my baby was here and I was just like, I got to be strong for him. I can't sit here and just cry and lay in bed like I want to. And of course, like you said, I had my village behind me too. My mom and sister like kind of traded off spending the night at my house because I just wanted to be home. And I had read that, you know, just getting the child into their normal routine just would help them with any trauma because Brooks was with me when we found his dad. And so he was only 8 months, so he didn't really know what was happening, but he was screaming and like, you know, because I was frantic. Yeah, I was frantic. And so I was just like trying to search it. Like, is he going to know? Is he going to remember any of this? Was this like a triggering traumatic thing that even though he's so young, he's still going to have like this trauma? And it was just like they won't like really remember it, but just try and get them in the best like or back to their normal routine. So I was like, okay, well, staying at home and just putting him down for normal naps and doing this, you know, that's going to be his normal routine. So my mom was staying with me for a while, but my sister also had a baby 7 weeks before me. So we both had our little babies. So she couldn't stay with me as much, even though she did on occasion. And we just put up a pack and play for the other baby and it was just us two and the babies. Her husband worked overnight sometimes. So it was so nice to have all of that support and all of the craziness,
yeah,
you know?
That's really what you need during yeah. those times.
Like, yeah.
And honestly, I felt like during that time, it had brought my family more together.
Yes, it brought my family together too.
Yeah.
It really did. Kyle had talked about like church and, but we just never really went to church. I grew up Catholic. He grew up Christian. And I always believed in God. I wasn't really about going to church. I didn't have like a deep like relationship with God, and I just didn't have that connection with the church. And so right after Kyle passed, we went to church. Like the very next week, I was like, I feel like I just need to go. Yeah. And they're like, okay, let's go. And then we still to this day go to church.
That's beautiful.
Yeah. Just about every Sunday. Yes. I've been so busy with work that I haven't been able to go as much lately. But yeah, it brought my sister and brother-in-law, both my parents, and then my aunt and her boyfriend. Aww. And Kyle's parents. You know, we all go to church now, and I thank Kyle for that, because I just think he talked about it a lot, even though we didn't go as much as we should have. But yeah, I think that's something Kyle like kind of brought us together.
Yeah. To he do, like planted you know? That seed.
Yes, he did for sure.
Oh, that's so
beautiful. Yeah. And it's really cool. I'm really grateful for that. I really am, because I never had any sort of connection with the church like I do now. And I love my church. I love my pastor. Yeah. And it just makes me feel so good to have this kind of like newfound like love for God, you know?
Yeah. No, definitely. I feel like after going through something traumatic like that, your faith is restored in the fact that, absolutely, you know, like during all the storms, God is always going to be there. He's going to hear you out. Yes. He's going to, even in your cries. And it's so crazy because you think he's not listening, but he is.
Yes.
Like, I remember like that whole pregnancy, I'd be crying, I'd be upset. And when I'd go to drive-thrus, I swear it was like I was winning the lotto or something. Somebody would always buy my meal.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. Somebody would always buy my meal. And I'm like, is this like Ricardo? Or like, is this like, are they buying this for me? Like, what's going on? Because I'd be like at In-N-Out and they'd be like, oh yeah, you're good. The person in front of you paid for your meal. And I'm like, that's weird. Then again, Starbucks. I'd go to Starbucks. They're like, oh, we made this drink. Do you want it? Like, we have an
extra. Oh my gosh.
Drink.
Yeah. And you're like, dang, what's happening
here? Yeah. And I'd be like, okay. But then in my head, I'd be like, wow, like my angels and God, like everyone's really just blessing me right now during the storm, even in those little gestures.
That's what I was going to say. Even these little things you find, like, just this little piece of happiness. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know. I don't know. Just makes you feel good.
Yeah, it does.
After you had your son, how was your relationship with Ricardo's family?
Honestly, I feel like it was pretty good for the most part. I would say like with like his mom and sister, and like his siblings and his cousins. Like he has a lot of amazing cousins. But unfortunately, I wouldn't say it was the best, because there was like separation that had happened at the funeral. There was like a lot of blaming about things, and it was like very unhealthy and not something I wanted to have my son around, especially being postpartum and all that. Like I just kind of wanted to deter myself from people like that. Right. So there was like a lot of, I guess, separation with some of his family members. But thankfully his mom and I and his sister, we always meet up. Like we meet up like every week or so.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. That's good.
And even his like nephews and stuff and his brothers and sisters, like I'll invite them, you know, to like my son's birthday party that recently passed and things like that. But I would say though, there was some type of tension though with some family members. And it was unfortunate because I was already going through so much. Right. The last thing I wanted was that. Yeah. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm just trying to give my son the best life. Right. You know, and if I can have some of his family and all of his family, that's better than having all of his family and some of them not being good people.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so. Exactly. Yeah. And I feel like I'm blessed in that way, too, that Kyle was really close with his family and they're all still very close with me, too. They'll watch my son sometimes if I'm working or, you know, we're actually going out of town for a wedding next weekend and he's going to be staying with his cousins and he gets so excited to like be with all of them too, and he loves them so much. And so I'm grateful too that we still kind of get to have that relationship with Kyle's side of the family.
Yeah, it's good to have that. Like I'm super grateful. Like his mom and sister, like they would reach out to me all the time during my pregnancy, ask how I was, take me out on dinners. Like for me, that was everything. Like it was like a reminder to, we would talk about, you know, Ricardo together. So it felt nice to like be able to like kind of confide in someone that also felt that same, you know, type of you know, I'm grieving, but I'm accepting life. And for her, it was exciting too, because like she was going to have her son's grandbaby, like, yeah, you know, like yeah. that was going to be her grandbaby. And even right. she tells me all the time, she's like, my little Ray, like my little king, my little light, like, you know, like he is something that I think keeps everybody going. Right. He's just a reminder.
Yes. You know? Oh my gosh. Yeah. That's going to make me tear up too. Cause I just feel like people just say that about my son too, because it's just like, you know, just this little piece of their son, right? Like, Kyle's mom will tell me all the time, like, oh my gosh, he just like, sometimes I just can't help but get tears in my eyes. Cause he is so Kyle. He's just like, so like Kyle. And, yeah, I think everyone just like can feel like they're just happy being around him, you know, cause yeah. he's just like this little light. And that's kind of how Kyle was too. He was just this like
funny guy,
funny, like, aww. Like, yeah, just very funny, very outgoing, just goofy guy. And like, yes. that's so my son.
Yes.
So my son.
Yes.
So,
that's so beautiful.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really nice too. Having like, you know, like Ricardo's side of the family too, you know, that they're never going to let his memory die.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
they like aren't. His memory will always stay alive.
Yes.
And your son, I'm sure, will always know who his dad is.
Oh, yeah, definitely. I try to, like, keep him in the loop. Even though he never got to meet his father, I would still, like, when he was a baby, I would show him pictures. And we still have, like, a picture of him. As soon as you enter our door, we have, like, portraits of, like, all, like, you know, for me, I'm Catholic. So I have pictures of, like, the saints, like, Guadalupe and Jesus. And then we have like people that have passed away, and we have Ricardo's portrait. It's like super big right there, and we always put flowers and candles, and
aww, it's yeah, something that's nice. Sweet. That's a nice little tradition too, to like just keep yeah just to keep his memory alive,
yeah, and to be reminded like he still lives with us every day, like in spirit,
right?
In
right.
spirit. Yeah. And I still show him photos of like videos, and like it's crazy because he'll like laugh and like he'll like smile and like make like these weird reactions, and I'm like, he's never physically met him. Yeah. But I feel like through his dreams and stuff, oh, like yeah. he's met him, because randomly in the middle of the night, I'll hear him laughing in his sleep.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm like freaked out because I'm like, is he awake? Like, what's yeah. going on? And but his eyes are closed and he's just like giggling. And I'm like,
oh my gosh.
You're having a play date up there, yes. like, with your dad probably. That's
seriously.
Amazing.
My son recently has said that too, like, oh, dada. And I'm like, what? What do you say? Oh, dada. And I said, oh, well, what about dada? And he said, he's with Jesus. I said, he is with Jesus. And he said, we lost him. He said, yeah, we did lose him. He said, I see him at church. I was like, oh, you do? He said, yeah. I said, did he visit you in your dream? He said, yeah. I said, well, what did he say? He said, get in the car with mama. And we were getting ready to leave. And so I was just like, okay. And then he just went off talking about something else. And
oh my gosh.
So I, like those little moments, I'm like sitting there and I'm like, you know, I'm tearing up and I'm trying not to let him see me sit. I'm like, okay, what else did he say? As I'm like crying, like, I really want to know, because it just makes me feel better too. Yeah. But I really hope that he sees him in his dreams, or just like has these spiritual moments that he gets to kind of, I don't know, see his dad. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
It's really cool. It's really
cool. It's so cool, but it's also like kind of like bizarre, but it's beautiful.
Right. Yeah. You're like, whoa, okay.
Like
should I be scared?
Yeah, should I be scared? But then you're like, no, like it's good. Yeah. It's all good things.
I never feel scared. It's just like, but like just going back to your son laughing in his room, I'd be like, okay, wait, why is he laughing? I'm kind of scared. But then, yeah, just think, okay, I guess it could just be Kyle, right?
Yeah, no, that's all you kind of, yeah. just the positiveness about mm-hmm. it. But yeah, no, it's kind of creepy though. At first hearing him laugh in the middle of the night, yeah. and then I caught him doing it multiple times.
Oh my gosh.
I'm like, no, he's definitely having a ball up
I
there.
Know. You should ask him too. Are you having dreams? What's your dreams about? Try and pry.
Yeah, to see what they're about. Yeah,
because we started asking, and I say we, I am in a relationship.
Aw, yay.
But we ask him all the time, okay, did you have like dreams? What do you dream about? So he's kind of starting to understand like dreams a little bit. He's like, yeah. And then he was talking about, oh yeah, this was just this morning. Went on a pink bus and all this stuff. I'm like, okay, maybe he's starting to really understand dreams now. So I would be curious to see if he would answer some way.
I know. I'm excited yeah. for him to really start answering. But right now, he doesn't really talk too much. He's barely turned okay. two. So he's a little bit, I wouldn't say like not speech delayed, but he just he says words, but he can't make complete sentences.
Sorry, I'm a year off. I'm thinking, like, because you said you found out you're pregnant at the beginning of 23. So I was just thinking that our sons are the same age, but Brooks was 2022 was when he was born, October of 22. So
yeah,
he's a little bit older than your son.
Yeah, Ricardo, he just turned two. So he's still my big baby. He's a tall guy. He's a tall little guy.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Was Ricardo tall?
Oh, yeah. He was tall. He was like 6'1".
Oh, yeah.
Handsome guy. Handsome.
Yeah.
He had colored eyes, curly hair. And then my son, he has colored blue eyes, curly hair. So,
oh, my gosh.
No doubt that's his son.
Oh, yeah. No. You're like, he's just like his dad.
Yeah.
Have you dated at all?
Honestly, I felt like I have gotten to know individuals and I have tried dating, but honestly, I feel like it's been kind of not hard, but I think it's still like different for me because of the fact like I have a whole different backstory. So that's a lot to kind of.
It is hard. And everyone's different. I've talked with people that, you know, are 3-4 years out and they still haven't even tried to date at all. And I don't know. I went on my first date actually only at 8 months, and I think about it now and I was just very lonely and I just.
Yeah, but that's okay.
Yeah. And I just wanted conversation and it went well and stuff. But after that, I was a mess. I was a mess. I was just like, okay, no, like it's not Kyle. And I just don't know. I just guess I'm not ready, you know? So months passed, you know, and then I was just one night so sad and just like praying to God. I'm like, please God, like I just, even if it's just a new friend, because I know I have my people, I've got my family. Yeah. They've heard me talk over and over again about the same things. I just would like to have even a friendship. And then I met my boyfriend a week after that.
Oh, no way. Yeah. Ask him, he shall deliver. Like, yeah, he always right?
Yeah. And it's just different. I mean, just dating after loss is still hard, you know, because you're still working through your grief. It's just different. It's just very different. That's all I can really say about it. But it has been really good too. And Brooks has a great relationship with him. And that's all I can ask for is for him to have some sort of father figure in his life, you know?
Yes, definitely.
So it's good.
That's really cool. Yeah. And that's nice to hear too, because it, like, for me, like, having, like, you know, losing, you know, your baby's father and then having a son, a lot of people sometimes, well, in my head, I'm like, a lot of people, I feel like, don't want to either, pertain or like get involved in that, because they're like, this is too much, or like I feel like a burden because I'm just like, I don't want to put so much onto somebody about my emotions. But now I've come to the terms like, this is my life, this is who I am,
and it's not a burden. You will find someone that will help you through that, like that will be there for your emotional hurt, you know? Like I am grateful that, because I felt the same way. I'm like, who is gonna want to like even like talk to me knowing that I have a son and I'm dealing with grief and I have this backstory, you know? But I truly believe that, like, again, God will provide, and there are those people out there that have this like empathy and will understand that just because you're hurting for someone that you were in a relationship with doesn't take away from the new relationship. It's just like, and I try and put it like this, you know, like Kyle was my best friend. He always will be like my best friend that I lost, you know? And even though we were more than friends, you know, like he was my person, but regardless, like he's always going to be my best friend. Yes. Like even moving on, he still was my best friend. And my boyfriend now recognizes that. And he knows that he was a big piece of my life.
And that's beautiful. Mm-hmm. And I feel like that's something that I would only strive to look for in a person, because the last thing I want is for somebody to try to like, oh, like forget about him.
You know? Yeah. You know, and that was the main thing for me too, is I don't want anyone to try and tell me that I have to take a picture down from my wall. You know, I'm sorry. I know that it's a hard like position to fill, to have to continue to talk about your child. Their child's father.
Yeah.
But it's not that we didn't break up, you know what I mean? Yeah. I lost him in a way that is so traumatic and that I would have never imagined. And I don't know. It's just hard, and no one should take that away from you.
Exactly.
Like, and you have, I don't know. Sorry, I'm rambling, but
no, you're okay. No, that's very real. Like, I don't think, like you said, like, you want to be able to have like pictures of them up, be able to post them on your anniversary when they pass away. That's one thing that always comes to my mind. Like, I don't want anybody to be upset with what I post,
right? Or
be upset with the fact that I'm going to always carry my son has his name. Like, yeah. You're going to have to mm-hmm. live up with the fact that that's because I loved him so much, you know what I mean? And we created something from our love that was so big. Right. So it's only right for me to have given him that name, to live on the Ricardo, you know, that he was, but in the best form that he can be.
Right.
You know, which is our son.
And it's finding someone that is okay, like someone that won't get jealous over something that can't interfere with your life. Yeah. You know what I mean? Like with your relationship. Like, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but you can't be jealous over
someone that's passed.
Yes. Yeah. I don't know any other way to put it, but you know what I mean? And it is a hard position to fill. You know what I mean? It really is. And I understand some people that are like, no, I don't want to deal with that. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
But there are special people out there that will like give you that comfort.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
And there's a lot of good people out there, I'm sure.
Yeah. But
it's just, I think me too, because I had just came out of postpartum. It was just a whole thing of like dealing with motherhood mm-hmm. and then trying to just figure myself out. Like, I also went back to school, finally wanted to finish up college, because that was one thing I remember having a dream of when I was pregnant. I had kind of put my life on pause because of being with Ricardo. You know, I kind of just worked full time. Was about, like, you know, paying bills and making sure that we were both okay when he was on his downs and ups, you know. But then it kind of paid back, because when he was doing amazing, he always took care of me and he always made sure that I was good. So that's something that I can only hope to continue doing, you know, and making myself the best version I can. And I remember I had a dream and I was asleep, and in the dream I dreamt that I was going back to college.
Oh, uh-huh.
And he was walking me to college.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh. And see, I think those dreams are like, it's almost, it's like a vision.
You know? Yeah.
Like, it's like, it's your little sign from him. Like,
yes.
I'm walking you there. I'm right there with you.
Yeah.
As you walk into those doors.
Yeah. He's like, don't give up. Like, you've mm-hmm. got this. And I did put my, I feel like that was one of my biggest, like, wow, like, I should have finished. But I had bigger things to focus on at that time. And I don't regret it. But yeah, I think him making that appearance and showing me that I can go back to school was just like, okay, I got to do this. Yeah. So yeah, while I was pregnant, I actually enrolled back into school and I did some courses online while I was pregnant. And then I regret not taking a gap, because one thing I will say with grief is you need to give yourself grace. You right. can't be a superhero. You can't expect to do it all. And I think for me to cope, it was just trying to put so much on my plate, like working full time, going to school full time, yes. being a mom full time. That was way too much. I needed to have a reality check with myself and really realize, you know, take it little by little. Like, life is not a race. It's a marathon, you know, and it's all about making sure you do the right plays in that moment that you can handle, because
yes.
emotional tolls, those are real, and you can't neglect them, because they will show up in your behaviors
right.
and in what you do. And honestly, I'm so glad that I gave myself a little bit more grace, and I've been able to, like, now complete school. I'm almost done, thankfully.
That's awesome.
Yes. Yeah. But I had a lot of bumps, because I would put too much on my plate.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something I will just say to anybody dealing with grief. You have to just realize it's okay. You're not superhuman. You're not going to be able to conquer the world or overcompensate for what you had lost, because I feel like that's what I had done.
Yeah.
Like, I was trying to make up for everything, mm-hmm. but it's still going to be there.
Yeah.
Enjoy life. Enjoy the time. And especially I took the time to enjoy my son growing up, because it's just me really being able, like, from his parents, like, it's me here being able to enjoy every moment of it. So make sure to take lots of photos and enjoy every step, every milestone. I'm not going to lie, it was sad, obviously, enjoying those by myself. Mm-hmm. And that's something I've never admitted, but I will say it hurt. Like, Christmas, Thanksgiving, I'm sure that hurt, you know?
Yes.
It hurts. Like, everyone's having a ball, being with their family, and then in the back of your mind, you're like, wow, like, my son doesn't have that, but he has me, but it's like, I don't want him to, like, feel that hole, you
know? Right. And it's always when the holidays come around. I know it's hard. Like, I've been starting to feel pretty emotional, but I feel like around this time, my son's birthday is October 29th.
Aww.
So then I have his birthday coming up, and then right after, you have all the holidays, you know, Halloween, Thanksgiving, Christmas, New Year's, and then Kyle's birthday is January 7th. So it just, like, hits one after the next, and it's tough. It's definitely tough, and I regardless of if I'm even thinking about the holiday season, I'm like, why am I so emotional? And then I'm like sitting there, oh, because the holidays are just about to be here. And like, it's just, it's not even in the front of my mind, like thinking about it, but it's like that, that feeling just comes back at this time of year.
Yeah.
You know, I always think about it in seasons, like the weather starting to get cooler. Yeah. And I just remember that being like the worst winter of my life. Oh. You know, I mean, it was just hard. It was just so hard. But so it just definitely just brings a lot of emotions as we kind of get close to these holidays. But we got to be there for our kids.
Yeah, being a
mom. Got to be strong for these babies. Yes. Honestly, all the things that you just said too about like we always end with what's your piece of advice that you would give anyone going through this. You answered a lot of it right now, but I'm going to ask you again, like if there's anyone that – I guess someone specifically like going through grief and pregnancy at the same time, what kind of advice would you give for them?
To keep on going and be strong and just know time heals. It's not, you're not going to feel great. You're not going to feel amazing. You're going to have to go through it. But that doesn't mean that you're always going to have to go through it. It's going to just be a constant of just making sure that you're reminding yourself that, you know, things are going to be okay. And it always does get better with time. I will say that in the moment when I was pregnant and I found this out, I didn't think there was going to be a light at the end of the tunnel. I literally felt like I was just in a big hole. But I see my light now every day, my son. And I'm so happy. I'm so happy I continue forward because I truly like who I am now more than who I was then. And it was truly because of my baby. And yeah. So for every bad time or every bad moment you think you have, just remind yourself that it's all going to be worth it. The joy that your baby's going to give you is like no other. And God knows why he does that.
Yes.
God only gives, I think, certain people those circumstances because he knows you can handle it too. So don't forget that.
Yes.
You're strong enough to get through it. You're very strong.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for coming on. I really appreciate you driving down here and, and coming onto the podcast and sharing your story. And good luck with school.
Yeah, thank you.
Yes. I guess I'm going to just add one little piece to your advice. It's your own advice, but just people need to just remember to take some time for themselves too, because that's something that I definitely forgot when I was grieving. Working and all the things and just trying to be super mom all while grieving. But I wish I definitely would have taken just a day to like recoup, you know, like you can't do it all. So yeah, definitely just take breaks.
Yeah.
Give yourself some grace.
Definitely. We're only human. Literally.
Yes.
We're only human.
Yes. Well, again, thank you so much for coming on to the podcast. Yes, I appreciate
you. Thank you so much. Thank you for talking to me and sharing your story with me too. Like it really means a lot to hear somebody that's also lost somebody through, you know, unfortunately, fentanyl poisoning. Mm-hmm. It's unfortunate, but it's a reality that a lot of us live in.
Right.
And it's not cool, but we live through it and we're doing it and we're still making great lives from it.
Yes.
So
yes, we're going to make some positive changes out of this.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you, everyone, for tuning in to another episode of Shattered Silence. As always, don't forget to follow us on all of our socials on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. You can watch full episodes on YouTube, or you can listen in on Apple Podcasts or Spotify.